Good morning. Let's begin our service by singing hymn number 93. Happy the man whose heart can rest, assured God's goodness never will cease. Each day, complete with joy, is blessed. God keepeth him in perfect peace. Hymn number 93. Scriptural will be given by Imogene from Australia.
The Bible, Colossians. If ye then be risen with Christ, seek those things which are above. Set your affection on things above, not on things on the earth, that ye might walk worthy of the Lord unto all pleasing, being fruitful in every good work, and increasing in the knowledge of God, strengthened with all might, according to his glorious power, giving thanks unto the Father, who hath delivered us from the power of darkness, and hath translated us into the kingdom of his dear Son, in whom we have redemption through his blood, even the forgiveness of sins, who is the image of the invisible God. For by him were all things created that are in heaven and that are in earth, visible and invisible, whether they be thrones or dominions or principalities or powers. All things were created by him. Romans, for of him, and through him, and to him are all things, to whom be glory forever. Amen.
We will now have a moment of silent prayer and follow with the Lord's Prayer and its spiritual interpretation as given in the Christian Science textbook. Our Father, who art in heaven, our Father, Mother God, all harmonious,
hallowed be thy name,
adorable one,
thy
kingdom is come, thou art ever present.
Thy will be done in earth as it is in heaven.
Enable us to know, as in heaven, so on earth, God is omnipotent, supreme.
Give us this day our daily bread.
Give us grace for today. Feed the famished affections.
And forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors.
And love is reflected in love.
And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil.
And God leadeth us not into temptation, but delivereth us from sin, disease, and death.
For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever.
For God is infinite, all power, all life, truth, love, over all and all. Let's now sing hymn number 234. O Master, let me walk with thee in lowly paths of service free. Tell me thy secret. Help me to bear the strain of toil, the fret of care. Hymn number 234.
Thank you.
Welcome to the Sunday morning service of the Plainfield Christian Science Church, Independent. We begin our Sunday mornings here with our roundtable discussion, where we talk about this week's lesson and other subjects that need to be covered, and learn how to practice better in our lives Christian Science. And we had another really good one this morning. So if you missed it, or if you'd like to hear it again, you can find it on our website, plainfieldcs.com. And you will also be able to find it on our YouTube channel and our Vimeo channel. We have a Sunday school for children that meets at 11 a.m. And that Sunday school is available for children just about anywhere. In fact, many of our Sunday school students do not live in the area, but they attend via telephone. We have a dedicated teleconference number just for the Sunday school. And that means that if you don't live in the area, but you have a child of Sunday school age, your child can also attend via telephone. Just call the church. We'll give you the number for the Sunday school. And our Sunday school teachers would be very happy to welcome your child to our Sunday school. And at all of our services, we have a nursery available for infants and toddlers. So if you do show up, if you do live in the area, you can bring the whole family. We have several different websites in different languages, and they all contain the very finest of Christian Science literature. We have everything available for free of charge on all of our websites. You can download, read, listen to, print without charge. Freely we have received and freely we give. And we are very grateful to those of you who contribute to our church financially. It helps us to maintain our mission and provide the very finest of Christian Science to people around the world. One of the articles that is being currently featured on our English language website is entitled Spiritual Facts by Albert Cheney. Short, to the point, but very important, and I recommend it very highly. Spiritual Facts by Albert Cheney. Everyone is welcome here, and that includes all of you who are listening and participating from around the world. And now we will have the reading of a testimony of healing from the Christian Science textbook, which attests to the healing power obtained by studying the Christian Science textbook. And that reading will be given this morning by Deborah from Idaho.
Good morning. I'll be reading from Science and Health, the chapter Fruitage. Born Again. It was in April 1904 that I first heard the still small voice of the Christ and received healing through Christian Science. And the blessings have been so many since that it would take too much space to name them. Reared from childhood in an intellectual atmosphere, my paternal grandfather having been an Orthodox minister of the old school for 40 years, and my father a deep student, ever seeking for the truth of all things, I began early to ponder and to study into the meaning of life and came to the conclusion before I was 20 that though God probably existed in some remote place, still it was impossible to connect him with my present living. My highest creed, therefore, became do right because it is right and not for fear of being punished. Then began the suffering. sorrow after sorrow followed each other in rapid succession. For 10 long years, there was no rest. The road was indeed long and hard and had no turning, until finally, the one thing that had stood by me all through the trials, namely my health, gave way. And with that went my last hope. But the last hour of the night had come. The dawn of day was at hand. A dear friend left Science and Health upon my piano one day, saying that I would gain much good by reading it. Glad to get away from my own poor thoughts, I opened the little book and began to read. I had read only a short time when such a wonderful transformation took place. I was renewed, born again. Mere words cannot tell the story of the mighty uplifting that carried me to the very gates of heaven. When I began to read the book, life was a burden. But before I had finished reading it the first time, I was doing all my housework and doing it easily. And since that glorious day, I have been a well woman. My health is splendid, and I am striving to let my light so shine that others may be led to the truth. There have been some mighty struggles with error, and I have learned that we cannot reach heaven with one long stride or easily drift inside the gate, but the asking and the seeking and the knocking must be earnest and persistent. For a long time, I was always looking back to see if the error had gone. Until one day, when I realized that to catch a glimpse of what spiritual sense means, I must put corporeal sense behind me. I then set to work in earnest to find the true way. I opened Science and Health, and these words were before me. If God were understood, instead of being merely believed, this understanding would establish health. Page 203. I saw that I must get the right understanding of God. I closed the book, and with head bowed in prayer, I waited with longing intensity for some answer. How long I waited, I do not know. But suddenly, like a wonderful burst of sunlight after a storm, came clearly this thought: be still and know that I am God. I held my breath. Deep into my hungering thought sank the infinite meaning of that I. All self-conceit, egotism, selfishness, everything that constitutes the mortal I, sank abashed out of sight. I trod, as it were, on holy ground. Words are inadequate to convey the fullness of that spiritual uplifting, but others who have had a similar experience will understand. From that hour, I have had an intelligent consciousness of the ever-presence of an infinite God who is only good. CVG Hudson, Mass.
The Bible and the Christian Science textbook are our only preachers. The scriptural texts and their correlative passages from our textbook, these comprise our sermon. The canonical writings, together with the word of our textbook, corroborating and explaining the Bible texts in their denominational, spiritual import and application to all ages, past, present, and future, constitute a sermon undivorced from truth uncontaminated or fettered by human hypotheses, and authorized by Christ. And today's lesson sermon can be found on page 26 of the Independent Christian Science Quarterly. Subject: Reality. The golden text is from Psalms. The eyes of the Lord are upon the righteous, and his ears are open unto their cry. The responsive reading is from Hebrews. Wherefore, holy brethren, partakers of the heavenly calling, consider the apostle and high priest of our profession, Christ Jesus.
For this man was counted worthy of more glory than Moses, inasmuch as he who hath built the house hath more honor than the house.
For every house is builded by some man, but he that built all things is God. But
Christ as a son over his own house, whose house are we? If we hold fast the confidence and the rejoicing of the hope, firm unto the end.
Wherefore, as the Holy Ghost saith, today if ye will hear his voice,
take heed, brethren, lest there be in any of you an evil heart of unbelief in departing from the living God.
But exhort one another daily, while it is called today, lest any of you be hardened through the deceitfulness of sin.
For we are made partakers of Christ if we hold the beginning of our steadfast unto the end.
Carol will now read.
I will read from the Bible. 1 Samuel. For the Lord seeth not as man seeth, for man looketh on the outward appearance, but the Lord looketh on the heart. Matthew. Now when John had heard in the prison the works of Christ, he sent two of his disciples and said unto him, Art thou he that should come, or do we look for another? Jesus answered and said unto them, Go and show John again those things which ye do hear and see. The blind receive their sight, and the lame walk. The lepers are cleansed, and the deaf hear. The dead are raised up, and the poor have the gospel preached to them. And blessed is he whosoever shall not be offended in me. He that hath ears to hear, let him hear. John. He left Judea and departed again into Galilee, and he must needs go through Samaria. There cometh a woman of Samaria to draw water. Jesus saith unto her, Woman, believe me, the hour cometh when ye shall neither in this mountain nor yet at Jerusalem worship the Father. Ye worship, ye know not what. We know what we worship, for salvation is of the Jews. But the hour cometh, and now is, when the true worshipers shall worship the Father in spirit and in truth. For the Father seeketh such to worship him. God is a spirit, and they that worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth. The woman saith unto him, I know that Messiah cometh, which is called Christ. When he is come, he will tell us all things. Jesus saith unto her, I that speak unto thee am he. The woman then left her water pot and went her way into the city and saith to the men, Come, see a man which told me all things that ever I did. Is not this the Christ? Then they went out of the city and came unto him. Matthew. Then came to Jesus scribes and Pharisees, which were of Jerusalem, saying, Why do thy disciples transgress the tradition of the elders, for they wash not their hands when they eat bread? But he answered and said unto them, Why do ye also transgress the commandment of God by your tradition? Ye hypocrites, well did Esaias prophesy of you, saying, This people draweth nigh unto me with their mouth, and honoreth me with their lips, but their heart is far from me. But in vain they do worship me, teaching for doctrines the commandments of men. And he called the multitude and said unto them, Hear and understand. Mark. And they came to Jericho. And as he went out of Jericho with his disciples and a great number of people, blind Bartimaeus, the son of Timaeus, sat by the highway side begging. And when he heard that it was Jesus of Nazareth, he began to cry out and say, Jesus, thou son of David, have mercy on me. And many charged him that he should hold his peace. But he cried the more a great deal, Thou son of David, have mercy on me. And Jesus stood still and commanded him to be called. And they called the blind man, saying unto him, Be of good comfort, rise, he calleth thee. And he, casting away his garment, rose and came to Jesus. And Jesus answered and said unto him, What wilt thou that I should do unto thee? The blind man said unto him, Lord, that I might receive my sight. And Jesus said unto him, Go thy way, thy faith hath made thee whole. And immediately he received his sight and followed Jesus in the way. John. After these things, Jesus showed himself again to the disciples at the Sea of Tiberias, and on this wise showed he himself. There were together Simon Peter and Thomas called Didymus and Nathanael of Cana in Galilee and the sons of Zebedee and two other of his disciples. Simon Peter saith unto them, I go a-fishing. They say unto him, We also go with thee. They went forth and entered into a ship. And that night they caught nothing. But when the morning was now come, Jesus stood on the shore. But the disciples knew not that it was Jesus. Then Jesus saith unto them, Children, have ye any meat? They answered him, No. And he said unto them, Cast the net on the right side of the ship, and ye shall find. They cast, therefore, and now they were not able to draw it for the multitude of fishes. Therefore, that disciple whom Jesus loved saith unto Peter, It is the Lord. Jesus saith unto them, Come and dine. And none of the disciples durst ask him, Who art thou? Knowing that it was the Lord. Jesus then cometh and taketh bread and giveth them, and fish likewise. Isaiah, Ho, everyone that thirsteth, come ye to the waters, and he that hath no money, come ye, buy and eat. Yea, come, buy wine and milk, without money and without price. Incline your ear and come unto me. Hear, and your soul shall live. And I will make an everlasting covenant with you, even the sure mercies of David. Revelation. He that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches. To him that overcometh will I give to eat of the tree of life, which is in the midst of the paradise of God.
Bruce will now read.
I will read correlative passages from the Christian Science textbook, Science and Health with Key to the Scriptures, by Mary Baker Eddy. For right reasoning, there should be but one fact before the thought, namely, spiritual existence. All reality is in God and His creation, harmonious and eternal. That which He creates is good, and He makes all that is made. The spiritual reality is the scientific fact in all things. The spiritual fact, repeated in the action of man and the whole universe, is harmonious and is the ideal of truth. Spiritual facts are not inverted. The opposite discord, which bears no resemblance to spirituality, is not real. To grasp the reality and order of being in its science, you must begin by reckoning God as the divine principle of all that really is. Spirit, life, truth, love combine as one and are the scriptural names for God. All substance, intelligence, wisdom, being, immortality, cause and effect belong to God. These are His attributes, the eternal manifestations of the infinite divine principle, love. No wisdom is wise but His wisdom. No truth is true, no love is lovely, no life is life but the divine. No good is but the good God bestows. All we correctly know of spirit comes from God, divine principle, and is learned through Christ and Christian Science. If this science has been thoroughly learned and properly digested, we can know the truth more accurately than the astronomer can read the stars or calculate an eclipse. This mind reading is the opposite of clairvoyance. It is the illumination of the spiritual understanding which demonstrates the capacity of soul, not of material sense. This soul sense comes to the human mind when the latter yields to the divine mind. Such intuitions reveal whatever constitutes and perpetuates harmony, enabling one to do good, but not evil. You will reach the perfect science of healing when you are able to read the human mind after this manner and discern the error you would destroy. The Samaritan woman said, "Come, see a man which told me all things that ever I did. Is not this the Christ?" Since God is all, there is no room for his unlikeness. God, Spirit, alone created all and called it good. Therefore, evil, being contrary to good, is unreal and cannot be the product of God. The scriptures say, "In him we live and move and have our being." What then is this seeming power, independent of God, which causes disease and cures it? What is it but an error of belief, a law of mortal mind, wrong in every sense, embracing sin, sickness, and death? It is the very antipode of immortal mind, of truth, and of spiritual law. It is not in accordance with the goodness of God's character that he should make man sick, then leave man to heal himself. It is absurd to suppose that matter can both cause and cure disease, or that spirit, God, produces disease and leaves the remedy to matter. We must abandon pharmaceutics and take up ontology, the science of real being. We must look deep into realism instead of accepting only the outward sense of things. Can we gather peaches from a pine tree or learn from discord the concord of being? Yet, quite as rational are some of the leading illusions along the path which science must tread in its reformatory mission among mortals. The very name illusion points to nothingness. Both Jew and Gentile may have had acute corporeal senses, but mortals need spiritual sense. Jesus knew the generation to be wicked and adulterous, seeking the material more than the spiritual. His thrusts at materialism were sharp, but needed. He never spared hypocrisy the sternest condemnation. Children should be taught the truth cure, Christian Science, among their first lessons, and kept from discussing or entertaining theories or thoughts about sickness. To prevent the experience of error and its sufferings, keep out of the minds of your children either sinful or diseased thoughts. The latter should be excluded on the same principle as the former. This makes Christian Science early available. Some invalids are unwilling to know the facts or to hear about the fallacy of matter and its supposed laws. They devote themselves a little longer to their material gods, cling to a belief in the life and intelligence of matter, and expect this error to do more for them than they are willing to admit the only living and true God can do. Impatient at your explanation, unwilling to investigate the science of mind, which would rid them of their complaints, they hug false beliefs and suffer the delusive consequences. As mortals gain more correct views of God and man, multitudinous objects of creation, which before were invisible, will become visible. When we realize that life is spirit, never in nor of matter, this understanding will expand into self-completeness, finding all in God good, and needing no other consciousness. Spirit and its formations are the only realities of being. Matter disappears under the microscope of spirit. Sin is unsustained by truth, and sickness and death were overcome by Jesus, who proved them to be forms of error. Spiritual living and blessedness are the only evidences by which we can recognize true existence and feel the unspeakable peace which comes from an all-absorbing spiritual love. When we learn the way in Christian Science and recognize man's spiritual being, we shall behold and understand God's creation, all the glories of earth and heaven and man.
We will now have a moment of silent prayer for our world. Let's now sing hymn number 208. The words of this hymn are by Mary Baker Eddy. O gentle presence, peace and joy and power, O life divine that owns each waiting hour, thou love that guards the nestling's faltering flight, keep thou my child on upward wing tonight. Hymn number 208.
Create in me a clean heart. restore to me the joy of thy salvation, O Lord.
And renew a right spirit
within me.
Created me a clean heart, O Lord, my God. And renew a right spirit within me.
Let's now sing hymn number 206. O God, our Father, Mother, love, purge thou our hearts from sin, that in thy radiancy divine we may with eyes undimmed define thy will, reality. Hymn number 206.
I will read from the Christian Science textbook, The Scientific Statement of Being, and the correlative passage from 1 John, 3rd chapter. There is no life, truth, intelligence, nor substance in matter. All is infinite mind and its infinite manifestation. For God is all in all. Spirit is immortal truth. Matter is mortal error. Spirit is the real and eternal. Matter is the unreal and temporal. Spirit is God, and man is his image and likeness. Therefore, man is not material, he is spiritual. Behold, what manner of love the Father hath bestowed upon us, that we should be called the sons of God. Therefore, the world knoweth us not, because it knew him not. Beloved, now are we the sons of God, and it doth not yet appear what we shall be, but we know that when he shall appear, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is. And every man that hath this hope in him purifieth himself, even as he is pure. Ephesians. Be ye therefore followers of God as dear children, and walk in love as Christ also hath loved us.
Amen.
Amen.